Hello and welcome to In My Downtown, a podcast hosted by the Michigan Downtown Association, where we discuss projects and programs that are unique to Michigan downtowns. And today we're very fortunate to have with us Lindsay Dotson, who is the Main Street DDA Director for the Charlevoix Downtown Development Authority. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, how are things up north?
Pleasant, sunny and cold, like it should be in January.
Well, you're very fortunate, and we're fortunate to have you. We're going to talk a little bit today about the Vault, which is a co-working space that's operating in downtown Charlevoix. So I wanted to start out the conversation with, the what prompted this idea to create the vault?
So the idea actually started at our library. Our former library director, who's since retired, noticed that there was kind of a dilemma of sorts when it came to people trying to use the library and the study rooms and the resources that they had for remote work. And when it came to summertime, especially, they would have to sign out the study rooms at like 2 hour increments at a time. And it really was limiting in what work could get done as far as the remote worker was concerned. So she started to consider how they could better utilize some of the square footage in the library to accommodate these remote workers and had it in their kind of strategic plan to consider the feasibility of it and all this fun stuff. So she approached me, and we started to kind of just collaborate and think together on how we could tackle the subject and really figure out if it would work for the library, and specifically Charlevoix. So the first thing we ended up doing was creating a remote or homework or home-based office worker collaborative. And we started to have monthly meetings with current residents that work remotely or have their own home-based business. And we, because we, you know, we're, we're we weren't those people, so we needed to get to know that audience and figure out what their needs were. So we would meet with them monthly and just discuss, what it could look like to have a co-working space at the library. But it actually became very obvious in the beginning that that was not going to work in the library, because of the fact that they had, limited hours. Like, they don't open until 10 a.m. and a lot of people like to start their work day earlier than that. They feel like they have to be quiet. They feel bad having coffee and food. And even though, those things were okay, it was just like the setting. Libraries typically are you have to be quiet and don't bring in food kind of thing. So that was kind of a limiting factor. And so we kind of shifted the conversation toward, okay, well, that's not going to work, but is there a need or a demand for a co-working space in downtown? And so we just kind of shifted the conversation toward that. And really just started looking at the feasibility of it. And we were doing so with the idea that it would be a privately owned endeavor, that we could kind of build the case and then recruit, an owner to open a co-working space in Charlevoix. And things changed a little bit. So, I could go on and on about, the way we got to where we are now. But I'm sure you have more questions, so we can.
I do. And your response there kind of prompted an idea that I had, and we can talk about this in more detail later on. It's one of the further questions, but I want to ask while it's on my brain, what influence does the fact that you have a large travel and tourism economic base impacted the vault?
I would say that's a huge component of why it works for us, because of the fact that, and our rural location, that those are the two main drivers behind our business. Because we already had a base, an established base of people who were here working remotely. many of which work for companies out of state or downstate or have their own businesses. And a large portion of them, I'd say the majority, were people that moved here because they liked the lifestyle and had come here as tourists once upon a time. And because they had the flexibility to work anywhere, chose to move here. And so, you know, the tourism aspect of it is huge. And we also have a large number of summer homeowners here. And when they come up, you know, they've got cottages that they may or may not have internet connection at. Because why would you pay for it if you're only going to be there for, say, a couple weeks out of the year? And but then we also have, you know, broadband issues where.
All right. Well, then let's take this step back, because now you've had a community conversation about the idea of a co-working space. Obviously, there seemed to be some need in having this. How did you ultimately come to work? I believe it's with your Chamber of Commerce on this facility, and pick your location. I mean, what were the factors that ended up where you are the, you know, kind of hosting organization?
Yeah, so it was an interesting journey, I will say, because when we started the conversation, it was very much a foreign concept to a lot of people on my board, particularly, and members of our committees. So when I would mention, you know, kind of give updates at meetings, they would just be like, okay, yeah, sure. Like, they really weren't buying into the idea that this was something that we needed or could be a resource. So because of that, I started to bring members of our collaborative that was, you know, the monthly meeting folks, and I would have a guest at each of our economic vitality committee meetings come in and just tell their story about why or how they work remotely, what brought them to Charlevoix. Some of them were native, some of them were out, you know, moving from elsewhere, and, you know, talked about how they have, you know, generally higher salaries because some of them are working for companies that are out west where cost of living is a lot higher. Therefore they have, you know, more spending power in our community to shop locally. And quickly after hearing those firsthand accounts, my board members were like, oh, wait, this is a thing that we should care about. It was weird to see that change. And they went from, you know, non-believers to, okay, this is something that has to happen. And through our network of, you know, very small town living here, you know, I think over coffee or maybe drinks at one point, there was a real estate agent who owns a building in the downtown and is friends with some of my board members. And he said, hey, I've got this space that is fully furnished with office furniture, and it's been empty for a really long time. And it's below the bank, a bank building, Huntington Bank. And if you guys want to try this co-working space thing, you could do it there. And I'll charge you a reasonable amount of rent. And you know, you won't have a lot of upfront expenses because of the fact that the furniture is already there. And so it was funny because we had brought in National Main Street and had Matt Wagner working on a feasibility study to really substantiate the need. And I had been working with the SBDC, Small Business Development Center, on creating a business plan for a co-working space. And then all of a sudden my board members were like, we're signing this lease and we're going to try this. And I was like, oh, okay. it was kind of a surprise that I wasn't ready for. I really didn't think it was going to move forward so quickly, but with that opportunity of the space becoming available at a reasonable rate, they were just like, let's give this a whirl. Let's see how it goes. They were just seeing if it would work. And, yeah, just kind of putting a lot of faith into the situation. So yeah, that's kind of how it came to be on our plate, per se. And we even had a private property owner come to us and say, well, I was thinking of doing this someday too, And we're like, cool, like, let's talk about that because you could possibly take this over. We don't want to own it per se. It's just, you know, we had this opportunity and we jumped on it. So, but, you know, that hasn't come to fruition yet. But the goal is to eventually transition out of being involved just because we have limited capacity with one staff person. So, yeah, it was an interesting pivot per se.
Yeah. So it sounds like some of the things just, I want to say, fell into place, being in the right place at the right time. One of my questions was in regard to funding, but it sounds like a lot of the initial overhead expenses that one would expect when forming such a facility were kind of already present when you were offered that location.
Yeah, that is true. You know, the space had been occupied by a marketing department of a local credit union before, and a lot of the furniture was pretty modern and up to date. One thing, you know, we did have some upfront expenses because we just needed like new chairs and had to get a copying fax machine down there. Obviously, like internet service and phone, and then the whole management system that we use for the co-working space for members to interact with and sign up and everything is a platform called Proximity Space. And, you know, there's expenses related to that. And then, but yeah, essentially our upfront expenses were minimal compared to, you know, someone that would have to build out a space and furnish it and decorate it. We had a, we actually put a call out to local artists to see if they would be willing to display artwork in the space. And we were inundated with pieces that really helped add color. And so that's always a really easy way to get your walls filled with content. And there's a lot of space to fill. And then you have to consider, you know, the other things, the operational things like toilet paper and, you know, dish soap and just the basics. We formed a partnership with a local roasting company for coffee. And he has been donating his extra coffee for each batch that he does to the space. So we've never had to pay for coffee, which is definitely a good thing. So yeah, just little, yeah, things definitely fell into place. And thankfully, because it's an endeavor where we were charging membership dues, we knew that there was going to be some upfront expenses, but that we would quickly make up for it by, you know, people paying us to use the space. So
when you formed this, you obviously have already talked about the market potential, talking with folks who are within the community, you know, who are maybe working from home and wanting to, you know, rent a space for a couple hours, and those who are you know, maybe on vacation and wanting to, you know, check in on emails and things like that. And so I think going into this, you had some sort of framework around who might be participants or users of the vault. So now that you've been operational, what has proven to be true? Were your initial expectations met? Are you still drawing the types of people that you thought you would be?
Yes and no. Because of COVID, you know, that changes everything. So the space opened in September of 19. So we were not open for a full year before COVID-19 became a thing. And so when we first started, the group that we had been meeting monthly with turned into the group who you know, helped us open the space. Like, these people were like helping in the regard of painting and like doing repairs. And it was really interesting. So our initial audience, that we kind of had a built-in clientele because we had started these meetings, They were the ones that had already been working remotely, and they found the space to be great because they wanted it to be a place where they would socialize and build partnerships and just kind of have a sense of community. And so we would have special events, you know, Christmas parties and networking opportunities where, you know, the members would mingle and just, you know, share resources. We held classes out of the space as well for small business owners and just pretty much anyone who has an interest in professional development type things. And when COVID-19 came into play, a lot of those people either didn't feel comfortable coming into the co-working space anymore because they didn't want to be around people, or their employers said they weren't allowed to because of restrictions. So then it was, you know, it was kind of scary because, you know, a couple people said, hey, good luck getting people to pay you to work remotely during this pandemic, because that's going to be interesting. Now everyone has to work remotely kind of thing. But I essentially, the shift happened when we did see that, you know, people coming up to this area because they felt comfortable because it's, you know, more remote than, you know, larger cities where they live. And a lot of our summer residents extended their stays and or moved here permanently. And we had examples of people who were using our marina and had boats in the marina and, you know, obviously didn't want to do work on their boat. So they've now since become permanent members. You know, we did have to shift our membership model where we before had drop-in, daily drop-in rates, and, you know, also monthly options. But we kind of eliminated the daily drop-in because we didn't want completely random people coming in, and changed to a completely dedicated desk type model so that we could ensure that there was no like sharing of desks and like, you know, there were sanitation requirements after you were done using the space and blah, blah, blah. So it was easy to adapt to that. But yes, our audience certainly did change. And, you know, in ways that, you know, we kind of knew were coming, but I think it was exacerbated by the pandemic. And then the other thing that we didn't expect was students being able to use the space because of remote learning, whether they were high school or college, not being able to go on campus and stuck at home. We have seen a lot of that activity as well. And that's certainly something we didn't think of at first.
So you really think that the going forward and hopefully the effects of the pandemic will lessen and lessen as 2021 goes by. We really think at this point that the operation of the vault is sustainable over the long haul.
Yeah, absolutely. Thankfully, it's great. I mean, a lot of the summer activity, just like many of the businesses in our town, is the income that we can, you know, depend on and feel good about. It kind of keeps us afloat during the other times. But the interesting part of our co-working space is that we do have some private offices that were just built in the way the space was laid out. And those have been in the highest demand. And at first, I was kind of surprised by that because you think co-working space, and I've worked in one downstate, and I've visited others in other cities, and they're always like these big, hip, communal type places where everyone's like working at a big table, and you know they all have their headphones on and like just doing their own thing. Well, apparently the crowd in Charlevoix is a little bit different with their preferences. And we have a lot of people who work with very sensitive information, whether it's, you know, medical related or legal related. And so they really do need the privacy to protect the privacy of their clients. And so the private offices are kind of the main thing that keeps the doors open because they're always full. We've had, you know, some turnover just because of changing circumstances, but they quickly fill again. And it's interesting because the great thing is no one's ever locked into a lease per se. And, you know, they basically pay us a monthly fee and it includes the internet access and all the amenities. And they know that they can come and go, you know, if something changes, they're not locked in. And so that's how this space is more attractive than a traditional office where you rent it for a couple of years and you have to get your own internet and you have to get your own furnishings. But as we have had some people come in looking for private space, we try to refer them to those traditional spaces if we don't have room for them. So it has kind of become a recruitment tool to fill office space in the downtown, even though at first people were worried that it would be competition. So yeah, it is definitely sustainable at this point.
Well, yeah, that's interesting that you touched on that aspect of it, which is exposing people to the downtown and getting them at a place where they can transition into occupancy, which of course is a goal of all of our downtowns and Main Street organizations, is to, you know, kind of groom or, you know, economic garden our prospective tenants in buildings. So that's a really great point to make. You also touched on this last point that I wanted to ask about, but the co-working spaces tend to form more relationships and creating a sense of community. Has it proven to be true at all, even though you said that the predominant interest in your facility is the private office?
Yeah, I would say that there have definitely been some good examples of partnerships and friendships that blossomed out of the space. It was in the making before we got involved, but it's really kind of a cute story. So I have to share. Two of our members ended up getting married.
Fair, right?
but yeah, one of the members that has one of our private office spaces had moved here to Michigan from Nashville. And she grew up in Traverse City, so she wasn't completely unfamiliar. But when she was considering whether or not to make the move, the co-working space was a crucial component to that decision. And she thankfully knew that we were working on the project and got looped into those meetings early on before she actually made the move. And it helped her make the decision to move here. So because she decided to do that, the person that she had been in contact with, who was also a remote worker in our little collaborative, happened to be the person that she ended up marrying. So it's fun. I mean, obviously we're not trying to be a love connection, but it definitely just speaks to the camaraderie that we've been able to build, and definitely just seen some partnerships that wouldn't have been possible otherwise with small businesses that are just starting out. So it's definitely been great. And we have a great partnership with the Small Business Development Center of Northwest Michigan. Before the pandemic, when they were still allowed to travel, they were seeing clients there, and they would have open office hours for anyone who wanted to, you know, come in and find out about business counseling services and things like that. So it's really just kind of become a place where people congregate and, you know, can depend on for whatever it is they need. So yeah, and you know, one thing I haven't touched on is the transition into our partnership with the Chamber of Commerce. And that's a new thing that just started. We because they have more staff and of course have had to reconsider their model of operation because of the pandemic, because a lot of their income was coming from special events that they could not have this past year. We have entered into a joint management partnership with them so that they can kind of transition this next year and kind of learn the ropes and figure out how to best operate the space, however it works for them. And then the idea is that they'll be fully in charge of it next year after this year is over. So then, and it's fine. Members of the community really wanted it to continue to be more of a community space versus a privately owned business. So it's working well.
Well, it sounds really great that you were able to incubate this idea and see it flourishing and then moving on to its next stage. If somebody wanted to find out a little bit more about how the Vault operates, where could they find
that information? So our website for the Vault is just thevaultcharlevoix.com. And so, you know, there's information on there about how to sign up for things. There's a schedule of events and all of that fun stuff. And it really does outline the entire story. So that's a good starting point.
And last question for you, Lindsay, is, you know, we all like to R&D everyone else's ideas. What advice do you have for another downtown organization that might be contemplating this idea?
I would say, so one thing I failed to touch on was the fact that we, for a year, had an AmeriCorps Vista member who, when we applied for the program, we were still in the exploratory phase of the whole co-working space idea. But then she came on and she was able to quickly be the person that was going to kind of, you know, lead the charge per se and be that daily presence in the space. And I would say, you know, if you're directing a downtown program and you don't have support staff, you certainly need to consider at least part-time an additional person, because especially in the beginning months when people are still getting used to how to sign up for memberships, or, you know, the internet goes down, you know, like there's always a thing that needs to be tended to. And sometimes it's things that you wouldn't even imagine. It was a blessing to have that extra hand, because I might not have gotten anything else done with my regular job if we didn't have that extra set of hands. And because we did it through AmeriCorps Vista, it was, you know, a really nice tie-in to economic development and community development, because of the fact that that program is very much based on, you know, addressing issues of poverty. We were, you know, trying to expand our network and basically make the vault an opportunity for personal development, career development, and growth for anyone in our community, especially those who are underserved, right? So that's where we got into having, you know, resume classes and how to apply for remote work jobs so that we can try to retain some folks here. If they can't find fruitful work, consider working from home for another company elsewhere and be able to stay in Charlevoix. You know, it's like the best case scenario. So yeah, that I would say, you know, having an extra set of hands, whether it's a part-time staff person, a temporary position, or some other program, that was really crucial in getting it up and running. And then because it was a temporary position, it also forced us to figure out how the space can function without that daily presence, because we had to prepare for that. So it is a lot of work. It is, you know, it's basically a business. And so, you know, if your board is okay with you spending a lot of time on it, then that's fine. And I have seen, you know, we were considering having our offices there as a way to kind of buffer the, you know, just kind of have a better, you know, relationship with the members and whatnot. But for our situation, it didn't work out, you know, well that way, but it could for other programs that are considering this.
Great. Well, Lindsay, this has been such a wealth of information. We really do appreciate you taking some time today to share the story of the vault with us.
Thank you for asking me. It's been fun. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to In My Downtown, a podcast from the Michigan Downtown Association. I've been your hostess. This is Annette Knowles, and I appreciate you listening today. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.